Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? She's a horror movie. It's a deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing inside. How can you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Like Master
Please
Watto is a
shut
champion.
Up.
You're gonna put some respect
Stop
on his
fucking
name
saying
now.
Master Watto on this fucking
IWGP
show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap of Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god, what is this?
It looks
Who is
like a TV.
The New Japan titles, they need to stop making titles.
It looks like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like, it, you could display whatever you want on the digital.
Oh, like
title.
An LCD screen?
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good. That'd be worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross, 100%.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That no, answer is I wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I just, I mean... You're welcome.
But I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note. Boo. You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. Boo. Ah. Boo. Boo. You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Door.
You start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo. Boo.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monster Cast. I am your host, Straight Edge Monster Jack. That is Ryan Rockwell. We got a huge reaction show for you today. A lot of things to react to, my guy. We had to push back a lot of this stuff to this week from last week, because last week's reaction show was going to be too long after WrestleMania Night 2, so we decided just do the WrestleMania review, we'll push everything back, and then we didn't really anticipate, I don't think, how much other shit was going to be added to that. So a lot of this stuff's going to be outdated, but we do want to give our quick reviews on that before we get into the crux of the most updated things that have happened from this past week that we just went through. So first of all, if you don't know, we both graded WrestleMania a B+ this year. One of the better WrestleManias of the last few years overall, anyway, from top to bottom. Ryan gave it a straight up B+. I reluctantly gave it a B+. It's whatever. I'm still going back and forth on it, honestly. Probably not something I'm going to ever go back and rewatch in totality to make sure that
I want to go with that because I just don't have that kind of time on my hands. WWE Hall of Fame, though, we're going to talk about that today. We're also going to talk about Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor a little bit. We're going to talk about our hype levels for AEW Dynasty. We're going to talk about the CM Punk Ariel Helwani interview. And then, obviously, right after we're going to talk about the obvious fucking the footage being shown on Dynamite, whether we thought that was a great idea, whether we think who looked better or worse coming out of it, etc. We're going to talk about Windy City Riot, which also directly is influenced by that. We're going to talk about Yoda winning the New Japan Cup, and then all the shit that's happened after that, because now that seems like it was forever ago.
Yeah, I mean,
if you remember the last time we talked about the New Japan Cup, it had just got on their way. And we were like, it was the Final Four, and we both wanted Yoda to win. Well, guess what? Yoda won. In fact, we can go ahead and talk about that. Yoda winning the New Japan Cup was great because I felt like they really needed to get some of their newer guys into the main event scene with everybody that's left. The Okadas, the Osprey, the Omega, the Jay Whites. You needed somebody else to come up. And Finley obviously has not been hidden for us. But we were talking more, I think, because of it was so top heavy, and then they left, and then you had no actual Japanese wrestlers up there because Tanahashi's obviously on the last legs of his career or whatever. So having Yoda go up there and win and made the most sense to us. Luckily for us, that happened. However, he turns around at Sakura Genesis, loses to Naito, and then it is told to us that Windy City Riot is going to have Moxley in Chicago defending or challenging for the IWGP heavyweight title from Naito. So let's get into that first then, shall we? Because we were talking about it on, I think I talked about it on Twitter. I said, somebody said before the match happened, they said, do you think Moxley wins here? And I was like, if he's going to drop it at Forbidden Door 3, yes. I could see them letting him win it. But I also see why New Japan would not want him to win because, like we were just discussing, they want their own guys to start going up to the main event scene because their roster is looking a little weak compared to the previous 5 years. So I could see why they wouldn't want that to happen either. They obviously went with Moxley winning it.
Right.
First off, what did you think of the match? What did you think of Yoda and Naito's match, too, in comparison?
I thought the Moxley match was good. I liked it more than their G1 match. And the Yoda match was, it was kind of what I expected because I didn't expect Yoda to win. So there was always, it's kind of that thing that we've talked about a few times on here where when you pretty much already know who's going to win, you don't sit with the same level of attention to it or like is the same level of engagement, I guess I should say, with it. But I thought as far as the story that they told, the sequences that were there, all that stuff, it was fine. And I think they're telling a good longer-term story since when Yoda first came back, he also got beaten by Naito, of him eventually overcoming Naito and maybe, like, even taking
He got beat by Sonata, too, when he very first came back. He got beat by Sonata.
Yeah. So there is a longer story that they're telling, I think, where it's him eventually coming and maybe taking over LIJ or something.
I think they're trying to make him the new Naito where like he just every time he gets in the big moment he doesn't win it even though the fans are going to want him to win it and then he eventually breaks over the hump? Or do you think it's not going to take it that long?
As long as they don't do it too much to the point where they don't want to see him win.
They don't want Dolph Ziggler this shit, right?
Yeah. Speaking of Dolph Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler versus Ishii also happened on Windy City Riot and I got to see Ishii do a fucking zigzag, which was crazy. That was a good match though. But yeah, I thought even before the match, I thought having Moxley win was the right call because they are in kind of a down period. And I feel like bringing in a really popular guy from another place, it brings the attention that I think they thought they were going to get by doing the same thing with like Riddle or Ziggler. Or not Ziggler, I'm sorry, Nemeth. But Moxley's just like a bigger name. He's a much bigger guy. He still is very active in AEW or was at least recently. He wasn't just a dude who got released. So I think it brings the type of attention that they want and the type of credibility to the IWGP championship that they want to have back. And then when we're talking about them building new guys, having Moxley have it does make sense for that because they're kind of at a point now where beating Naito, a lot of people have beat Naito. A lot of people have beat Tanahashi. They're older. Everybody kind of knows that they're in the twilight of their careers. You put the belts on them and then have somebody go over them. It's like, okay, yeah, you like you beat Naito, but Naito's like 100. His knees are 100 years old. Okay, so putting on a Moxley instead, you give him like this 4, maybe 6, maybe 2 if he drops it at Forbidden Door, but this shorter sort of reign, and you can put over somebody doing it. It's probably not gonna be Shota Umino. It's definitely not gonna be Rin Narita. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think that their thought is, you look at how, like, let's say Shota and even Yuta Wheeler to some extent got pretty big rubs off of just having competitive matches with Moxley. And I think the idea is you can do that for a lot of your younger guys there, and then eventually putting one of them over just gives them instant credibility in a way that beating Naito and stuff doesn't really do anymore. So I actually think it was a good move. They're in such a down period right now that getting more American eyes on it is always going to be a good idea. Also, Forbidden Door 3 is in Long Island. They're not doing Arthur Ashe anymore. They're doing some Long Island Stadium or whatever. As far as I know, short of something crazy coming up, I should also be going to that. Because I'm trying to go to all of them as long as I can, because I don't get a lot of opportunities to see New Japan guys. So whenever I do, I'm like, okay, well, of course I'm going to do that. So I hope that whatever they book for that, he's going to be the New Japan, Moxley, I mean, is going to be like the New Japan guy. And maybe they have him go against an AEW guy. Or they could spin it as he's the AEW guy who came in and stole your belt and now New Japan needs to go fight for it or something. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But I think doing a title change on that show, between the brands that are like participating in the show, actually makes it a lot more of a draw. So I think all around this was a good idea.
I think it'll be a great idea if Yoda is the one that wins it off of Moxley.
Maybe, yeah.
That would help catapult somebody. I don't want to see a Naito or a Tanahashi end up being the one to take it off of Moxley. I'd rather see a young, like a Shota, like you said. I don't think Shota's going to win either because it'll be his first defense. So there's no way. But Shota
Rin Narita is going to be his first defense.
Oh, okay.
Rin Narita and then Shota, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah, neither one of them are going to win for sure. But yeah, I would like to see that too. And although they did push Shota by having him beat Jack Perry a couple times, they won the tag match, and then he won the singles match at Windy City Riot. I guess...
I wish he would have hit that GTS, though.
I guess, well, yeah, I mean, we might as well go ahead and get into this. We might as well. We might as well. Let's talk about it. First, let's set the stage here, because this was all set up because of the stupid Ariel Helwani interview that Punk gave, where he decided to say a bunch of shit that no one thought would ever really be talked about.
I just choked a guy a little bit. What the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Okay. There's some Punk fans that obviously I follow on Twitter because I am, or was, a huge Punk fan, I should say. I'm a Punk fan. I'm just not a huge Punk fan anymore. I mean, you cannot deny the man is the biggest hypocrite in wrestling history.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
All right. So I've seen that. He's right now, he's about as far away from Punk as you could possibly be.
Are you saying he's PG Punk?
No, he's not Punk at all. He's literally not Punk.
No, I understand.
The establishment of Punk is not what he's doing. Okay, so while he's wearing a Ramones shirt, by the way, on this interview, which...
And he met the guy from the Ramones and took a picture with him and everything.
Yeah.
Super.
He's huge friends with the lead singer of Rancid as well, but...
Or maybe it was Rancid. I don't know. It's all the same.
It's probably Rancid.
All the punk I care about is Jawbreaker.
Okay, so the interview he gave where Ariel Helwani asked him a bunch of questions, and I guess Punk felt compelled to answer them so that he didn't get killed on the internet, like Ariel tried to kill TK for being distant with his answers, I guess. So he's trying to be coy and sly with it, I guess. I don't fucking know, but he gave vague bullshit answers. And then, of course, we end up finding out that really none of it was actually true. The people that watched the video Okay, so all right, let's talk about his. Let's just try to focus on this interview first, okay?
Okay.
When he tells Ariel Helwani that it's a business, but it's not a business in it to make money.
Right.
Or he throws shade at Dave Meltzer's star ratings and says, is it really a five-star match if it was, if only a quarter of the building was full or whatever the fuck he, however he phrased it.
One of Dave's first six-star matches, by the way, was a fucking house show.
Yeah.
It was a house show match between Steamboat and Flair.
Well, I'm sure so it was packed, but that's here, neither here nor there. If it's a four, if it's a five, if it's a six, whatever star rating, it doesn't matter how many people are there. That doesn't take away from the match quality. That just means a lot of people got to miss out on a really good match. That's not my problem. That's not how the ratings work. We're not going to start giving ratings based off it was five stars, but I'm going to deduct a star because the house wasn't full.
I think that's true to a point, though. Because if you have a match in front of three people, the crowd reaction part of it is so important that I think it's hard, no matter how good the moves are, the storytelling is, whatever, I think it's hard to say that match isn't a different score if it's in front of a larger crowd, even if they do the exact same thing.
Okay, I understand the larger crowd because you literally said three people, which is never going to happen. But if you have...
But there is some line there that it crosses.
Yes, I agree with that. But it's also a line that crosses where you have the ECW or the AEW fan base, which are way more vocal at a quarter full fucking building than, hey, I've got 10,000 people and I can't hear shit. And they're not reacting to anything about this match because they're just sorry ass fans that are just there to be there.
Just sitting on their hand, dude. Okay, so the Punk interview. So there's two things that kind of get conflated, I feel like. So I've watched the Punk interview with Helwani, and I've even gone back and like read the transcript of it to make sure that I was understanding shit correctly. And there's two versions of events. There's the version that Punk tells on this podcast, and there's the side that Hausman posted that he got from Punk and confirmed that he got from Punk pretty much immediately.
We're talking about the very original report, which is nothing like what happened in the video.
Not even remotely close
Correct.
To it.
Yeah.
Now, what he says in the interview is vague enough to where it like kind of matches up. So people are like, oh, look, he said that he did this, and that's pretty much how it happened. The problem is, one of the things that he says in the interview is, then I turned to Tony and said, you fucking tried to jump across the desk like a fucking maniac. Okay?
Yeah, if Jerry Lynn wasn't there, what would you have done exactly?
Right.
You would have been on top of him?
Over the table. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's just so stupid. But the people forget this, but his original version that he gave to Hausman pretty soon afterward was that Perry came up to him and was the one who, I believe he even said that he shoved him first and then he's the one that shoved him back. That was the Hausman interview. I can go find it.
I can tell you exactly what he says. He said that he literally, Perry came up to him, bumped him, and then that's when he reacted.
Yeah, fuck it. And
you literally see Perry there for 30 seconds, and then Punk walks into the picture.
Right.
Then they're talking for another 20 seconds, and then as soon as Perry puts his hands through his hair and is defenseless, he shoves him and then throws a punch and then gets behind him and tries to choke him, and then Samoa Joe comes and tells him to get the fuck off of him. And if you want anything, if there's anything that you need to see in this video to know that Punk was in the wrong, look at Chris Hero at the end of the fucking video. Chris Hero knows that Punk fucked up.
So there's a couple things about the video, too, that people wanted to fucking argue with me about, trying to say that he didn't throw a punch. And I boxed for a while. I know what throwing a punch looks like. And they were trying to argue that it was a two-handed shove. The problem with that is you see his fucking shoulder go down because he's bringing his fucking fist out and forward. This one, his left hand, he just brings it up because he's throwing he punches like shit. You see him do it again at the end, too, because when Samoa Joe is trying to cart Jack off, he also throws a shitty little fucking side punch and does basically the same thing. But no, he absolutely throws a punch in that video. Even if you don't agree that the first one is a punch because you're blind or whatever, he throws a punch that ends up hitting Samoa Joe in the fucking back. So he is trying to punch during this. He also, when he does the initial...
When you shove somebody, do you try to shove them in the face?
Right. That's
exactly. He was literally with aiming for his face. Yes, exactly.
With one hand. Yeah. You and people say, "Oh, that's a pie face or whatever." Like when he brings his hand back to his side, it's closed. You can see it by his hip. It's closed. Now Punk has never been a good puncher, so people are looking at this and they're like, "Oh, well, it doesn't look like a with a full rotation hand up by here." That's because Punk doesn't know how to fucking punch. He's a shitty boxer. But it is a punch. It's like very clearly a punch. And then when he moves forward to Jack, what he tries to do is he tries to grab his hands in a double collar clinch or a double collar tie. There's like a split frame where you can see that Jack actually gets his hands and his wrists up in between the double collar tie, but he doesn't really know how to defend it, so he doesn't know how to swim over or anything like that. So then Punk pulls him down, and then that's when he gets what he's calling a choke, but you can see that his arm's not far enough forward for him to actually be choking him. His arm's mostly just around Perry's face. And then from that split second, it immediately gets broken up. So he didn't even actually have a choke on him at all. this is the funniest part. Never choked him because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Tried to clinch, didn't really work, but he was able to successfully pull him down. It kind of looked like Perry puts his hands on his legs to post while he's there, which is not a good idea either. But again, Perry's not trained. But the funniest thing watching this was like, Punk trains and has trained for so long and like literally couldn't, with a clean shot against a guy who had his hands in his fucking hair, couldn't like really do anything except for make him stumble backwards slightly and then almost get double leg takedown. Like, it's crazy to me. He talked a lot of shit about how composed and how like controlled and how he was being responsible and whatever, but you see that he's just pissed that Jack doesn't give a fuck about anything he's saying. And then waits for a second, like a split second, to cheap shot him. It's so fucking lame.
By the way, if Jack Perry responds, if they're talking and he actually does respond, and no one really knows, if you look at everybody, they don't even seem like they're trying to pay attention to the thing without paying attention. They're literally just not paying attention to it. It's weird. But given the Hook's, two people that Hook was is the involved, one there. Hook if he really did end up saying. He really did end up saying, what are you going to do about it? That's mm-hmm. not, that's not something that warrants, hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to wait till you're going to put your hair in your hand in your hair, and then I'm going to fucking try to punch you in the face and sucker punch you. Like, it was clearly a sucker punch shot.
When Jack first puts his hands up in his hair, you see Punk's arm twitch like he thinks about doing it that first time. He waits for a second to see how long Punk or Jack is going to keep his hands up, and he sees that one arm comes down and then goes back up into it, and that's when he throws. He's such a fucking bitch. It was like the lamest shit I've ever seen in my life.
The hardest just part about watching this video, by the way, do you think it was a good idea to show the video on not even just in general, but on Dynamite? Do you like the way that the Young Bucks tied it into kayfabe?
I like that they tried to. I like that it sort of makes sense. I think it's too far removed from the Bucks FTR thing to try to make that tie.
Well, see, I don't think well, yeah, because they didn't bitch about it immediately the night after type deal.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. But in their defense, this is the first time that they'll be able to forcefully meet for the tag titles since that match, too. So it's not like they wrestled three times before that either. You know what I'm saying? Or like after that, I mean. Before this match.
I wasn't like super bought in on it, but I like that they tried to tie it to it. Whether or not showing it at all was a good idea, I have two thoughts on that. One, if the goal was just to get the footage out there because they wanted to kind of try to contradict this narrative that Punk was trying to paint where he was just being like a super reasonable, calm guy and just had to handle business or whatever the fuck, you could have released that to journalists and let them tell the story or post the video or whatever without taking up time on your program. That's one of the main complaints that I think I have about it is you spent, I don't know, like 6-8 minutes between the two promos with the Bucks and the FTR doing this on the show.
The FTR thing right after is what annoys me. Like, you could have done the FTR promo, I think, on Collision.
Yeah. So I wasn't crazy about that. It just took too much time from like the product, but I'm fine with him doing it. I'm fine even if people are like, "Oh, it's kind of petty" or whatever. I'm fine with him doing it.
No, I'm not. I'm not worried about pettiness at all. You know, everybody knows on this show that I'm here for all the pettiness, everything. The Ospreay comment about Triple H all of it. I love all of it. I was an ECW fan. Of course I love all of it. That's literally what they did every fucking show, was talk shit about Eric Bischoff and fucking Vince McMahon every fucking show on the mic.
People were also saying that they were worried that it might make Jack look bad, but I don't see how it makes Jack look bad to have his hands up in his hair.
Okay, so listen. If Jack's not looking for a fight and then someone sucker punches him, then it doesn't make Jack look bad, because we don't know if Jack could have actually taken him or not. That jury's still out. Right. But what we do know is that Punk couldn't take out a defenseless Jack. Right. That's what we know.
That was my thought on it too. I was just like, you're saying that it made him look bad, but at the end of the day, this trained MMA fighter that you guys like.
By the way, take out all that. Also, a fresh Punk versus a Jack Perry that just went through a fucking hardcore match.
Yeah. I thought about that too. And you couldn't even get him on his back. You couldn't take him down. You couldn't even correctly apply a fucking choke. You had a free shot on his face that did nothing to him, like at all. I don't think it made Punk look very good at all. That's where my brain was at.
The thing about it is that you can't go on the Ariel Helwani show and say, I just choked him a little bit, and then we literally have a video come out right after. Obviously, he didn't think that was going to, you know, I don't know what he was thinking when he said it. Like, he knows that they have the video.
Yeah.
Okay, so when they have this whole fucking thing with Danielson and the crew, the committee or whatever the fuck, they've watched this video how many times probably before they made that decision? Okay.
Yeah.
Then whatever ended up happening with him and Tony afterwards, where Tony said he feared for his life, quote unquote, then that gets taken into consideration as well. You know they had this information. You know they had this media. You talking about it, like the funny thing about it is that everybody was talking about the UK laws or whatever, that they're not allowed to release this footage. Dude, let me tell you something. As soon as Punk said anything about it, they had every right to release the footage.
I mean, it's also just not how those laws work.
People in the UK are just as dumb as over here, apparently. All right, so...
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I want to talk about is the fact that... So when the Bucks bring it up into the storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually like that, because then it gives me a little bit more reason why it makes sense for you to even have it on TV to begin with. Now, if they weren't going to try to tie it into the FTR match, then no, you just put it on your YouTube, or you put it on your Twitter, or you give it to a journalist, like you said, Sean Ross Sapp or Meltzer or whatever. The other thing about it that I hated was a lot of the Punk fans, by the way, I am one, but not the hardcore ones, the ones that are going to defend him regardless. When that video came out on Dynamite and they all went to their fucking keyboards on Twitter or their phones and they said, that's what he got fired for? No, moron! Yeah, no, he already got in trouble for Brawl Out. Yeah. He got suspended for Brawl Out. They brought his ass back, and then he did that. That's why he got fired.
Right. If this was his first offense, then it would be looked at just like the Andrade thing was.
He would have been gone for a couple weeks, and that would have been it, probably.
Yep. It's like... And if that were
By the way, I don't think Andrade after the Sammy Guevara, or the Eddie Kingston after the Sammy Guevara or anything, they yelled out, I quit, you're a fucking clown.
Right.
Shit like that, too. I don't understand.
Do
we just completely forget about fucking Brawl Out? We're going to our keyboards and typing this shit, and we don't even remember fucking Brawl Out, which was a huge fucking thing for how many months?
Or did they stop watching the footage, like, immediately after they get separated?
I have it on very good authority, right? That everything that we learned about Brawl Out, that it was a far worse scenario than what the fuck happened between Punk and Perry, and yet Perry has been suspended longer than the fucking Bucks and Omega and Ace Steel was and all that shit. He's been gone for that whole time, okay?
Right.
So... I don't want to hear anybody say that's what he got fired for. What we should be saying is, this is what Perry's still suspended for?
Right.
I mean, not like today, because obviously it's been turned into a storyline with New Japan, but before that, before he showed up in New Japan, that was already a long-ass time. He got sucker punched, blindsided, and you're telling me he's suspended that long because he said, cry me a river on fucking TV?
And the funny thing is, wasn't it the pre-show?
Yeah, 0 hour.
It was like on YouTube, really.
They're like, well, how does this help AEW? I don't know. Have you seen the t-shirt sales for the scapegoat shirt?
Yeah.
Did you see the reaction at Windy City Riot for Perry? Did you see the people cheering for the scapegoat shirt when Matthew Jackson fucking stood up at the end of at the end of that segment, I think it's doing just fine for him. Now, you can say that, oh, yeah, Punk, oh, they're getting over off of Punk. Who cares? Who gives a shit how they're getting over off? They're making money off of somebody that doesn't work for them that they don't have to pay anymore. That's called a genius move.
The Perry thing, too, like, I think, I don't know how long his real suspension was, but I suspect some time frame of that was actually just trying to get distance from it to figure out, okay, how are we going to bring you back without your whole fucking thing being around that? And then somebody just eventually deciding, no, we're just going to lean into it. Fuck it. There's no way around it. It's not like people are going to forget it.
That's the craziest thing, man. I'm so torn between the situation because it's very well documented on the show that Jack Perry was my favorite of the four pillars. I used to get killed on this show because I said, I think Jack Perry is the better one out of the four pillars. Ryan used to be like, and this is very early on when they first coined the four pillars or whatever, before MJF became champ and all that shit. And Ryan was obviously, Ryan's a big MJF guy. And I was a big Jack Perry guy. So I don't want to hear anybody come on here saying, oh, you're just a Jack Perry fan or you're just a Punk fan. I'm a fan of both. I literally have a shit ton of Jungle Boy action figures. I got the special edition one with fucking him and Luchasaurus. I got a shit ton of Punk shirts and Punk action figures as well. Like, you have to be unbiased and logical when you watch that video and you watch everything that Punk had done before that. There's no way that you can sit there as a Punk fan. I don't give a fuck how big of a Punk fan you are, dude. You cannot sit there and be like, he's not the biggest hypocrite of all time. As soon as he went back to WWE at Survivor Series, at the end of Survivor Series, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. He's just another guy to me now. I don't wish him ill will. I don't wish that he gets injured all the time or whatever the fuck's going to end up happening. If he wins another world title in WWE, whatever. It's not going to move me one way or the other either, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to be jumping up and down and be like, yeah, fucking Punk still got it because he pumped out a 5-star match with whoever. Or he won a world title again like I would have been in AEW because he's already shown that he's a hypocrite. And that takes a lot of it away from me because of what his whole mindset was for his entire career was he was supposed to be against the establishment. He was supposed to be trying to change shit. And then something comes along that was literally built for him. Tony Khan is on record saying that literally the first person he wanted to sign in AEW was CM Punk because this was his whole vision from the fucking pipe bomb interview. And then he gets into it after he makes sure that it's going to fucking be something that stays around. He comes back and then he does what he does after a year of being on good behavior. He completely fucking muffs it twice. And then goes back to the place that he was talking mad shit about ever since he left it. The place that fired him on his wedding day. The place that tried to fucking, the place that he sued and won. That's where he went back to.
Because they were a threat to his life, funnily enough.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. The place that was a threat to your life, you decided to go threaten someone else's life to get fired from that place to go back to that place.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing, too. People are, you know, I've said this before, too. In other conversations about either on Twitter or whatever. If it was just the little Jack Perry scuffle and the shittiness of the attempted little sucker punch not leading to anything and then getting broken up, and then he just fucking walked away and there was no incident at All Out, and he didn't do the trying to fucking lunge over the tables at Tony Khan bit, I probably just would have been like, oh, okay, like, you know.
Regular ass scuffle, yes, that we see every day, but that's not what it was. And also, the only props I can give Punk in that whole thing is that even though he turned to Tony and said, you're a clown and I quit, he actually did go out there and still did the match. He could have not went out there at all. He could have put an Ultimate Warrior on us and fucking just not went out there and fucked up everything. He could have literally fucked up everything.
That could have been money-based and it could have been Joe would have beat his ass-based, so who knows.
Or maybe he didn't know maybe he didn't think he was going to lose his job, and he knew he would lose his job if he didn't go out there type deal. Maybe he still thought there was going to be a chance that he didn't get fired from AEW from that. But
I mean, they didn't decide it for a while.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe. I mean, sure there was other stuff that went into it, but that was crazy. Like, so I give him a little bit of credit for actually still going out there and having a really good match with probably them two. Now that I know what those two guys were probably thinking about that entire time that they were doing that match. It makes me appreciate that match even a little bit more. Like, because, what the fuck?
The part where Joe swings him into the table.
I mean, well, and then the part where everybody's playing where Joe flips him off when he moves out the way of the dive or whatever.
Yeah.
And flips him off. That's funny too. But like, well, yeah, I do appreciate it a little bit more because obviously there was other shit going on in their minds.
I think everybody was so down on it because they were like, how is this going to make Jack look good? But it did make Jack look good. And he's got a bunch of merch sales out of it, and he's playing into it pretty well. And I don't think this came out as... People are like, oh, like it backfired. How? Where? Like, I still have complaints about them doing it on the air. But to say that it's like backfired or there's like this stupid fucking... It's like WCW 2000. Go, please go watch WCW 2000. Just... Like three episodes.
Actually, you know what? Don't go watch WCW 2000. I'm telling you, don't. Just don't. I don't care. Like, you can say it, honestly. Just say it. But I already know that you saying it, you've never watched WCW 2000. Because if you did, you would never say that anything was like WCW 2000. It's the worst wrestling of all time.
Right. I don't feel like it made... The thing is, I don't feel like it made Punk look that bad either, because I don't think you can make him feel any kind of self-awareness or bad about anything he's
done. Remorse, yeah. There's no remorse. Right. There's no regret.
He's always going to be right in his own head. And
which is the only Punk thing about him, by the way. That's literally the only Punk thing about him. He has no regret. He's just going to be himself or whatever. But what he doesn't understand is that himself is a hypocrite.
We got a chatter that says, Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time. I appreciate Roman Reigns. I, for one,
we have a chatter.
Who said that? Acknowledge our tribal chief. Village Life Vlogs.
Oh, it didn't pop up on my. It hasn't popped up on my screen. Sorry about that, guy. Sorry, I did not acknowledge your tweet or your chat, rather your comment. Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time. Greatest at what?
Greatest at holding the belt for a long time.
Greatest at what? I need to know what he's the greatest at.
Hmm. Hey, that story though. That they do out of that, where Reigns comes back and is like, hey, what the fuck are y'all doing? What is it? Why is Tama Tonga here? That whole thing, that should be good. I'm excited to see that whenever that hits. So
it's not even going to just be that, though. It's going to be, okay, we'll get into that in a little bit. All
right. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so.
Sami Zayn back.
So I'm kind of glad that Punk is gone.
Yeah, I am too. I think
I know you are. Everybody knows you are. You pay book. What the fuck are you talking about? We know you are. I am too.
Listen, I was so tired of seeing these mid-ass matches where he can barely move.
Dude, don't start.
It's just look, he had.
He was fine until that first injury, that first ankle injury or whatever the fuck. That's when it all derailed for him. He was fine till that.
Jumped into the crowd.
Yeah, like an idiot. I said it was stupid. I said it was stupid on the show when he did it.
The MJF dog collar match was really good. I like that.
The Darby match was good.
Yeah,
the Eddie Kingston match was good.
Wrong person won. I'm trying to think of other ones that I thought were good. I mean, the dog collar match was like undeniably good. That's pretty much it. I don't know.
His other match with MJF was good too. When MJF beat him twice in Chicago.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That's good too.
Oh, the first Moxley match was good.
You didn't like the Hangman match when he won the title?
No. But the first Moxley match where Moxley beat him in like 2 minutes, that was good.
Anyway. And he beat Moxley too, by the way. That match was good.
One of my favorite matches.
Let's not act like Punk had a shitty AEW run. It's going to be better than anything he does in WWE. That run is going to be better than anything he does in WWE going forward.
I'm sorry, but that coming back with the I'm the real championship was like super fucking.
That's a storyline. That's not anything about the
match. It's corny. It's match quality. It's corny. It's stupid.
There it is. It just popped up on my shit. Holy shit, I'm getting super lag for that. I'm glad you got it. You must have it open up on a browser or something, right? Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time.
Yeah. He also said Roman was looking like a king with that universal championship. Brother, we'll get to Roman Reigns in a minute, but there's Google if you just want to go put some pictures of Roman Reigns.
Greatest of all time. I just want to know where he's the greatest at. So he's the greatest at holding a title in a picture? Is that what you're saying?
Mm. I'll agree with that, though.
That's what I'm asking. Because if that's it, then yes, I agree. I agree with that. He's the coolest looking motherfucker with two titles, and he's the coolest looking motherfucker with the gold title, the new gold one. I agree with that.
Man. He's a good looking man. I agree.
He was looking rough on WrestleMania Night 1 when that weather was drying out his hair, though.
Mm.
He was looking like a lion, dude. Like legit, like a lion that just got into a fight or something.
Look, that's just how it goes when you got. If I should come pour water on my hair before I get on the show. That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? You gotta get some that oil water mixture and spray it in your hair.
Mm-hmm. Some salt water. but nah, I'm glad Punk is gone. Greatest professional wrestler of current generation, brother. Please go watch a Will Ospreay match. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just gonna ignore that. I'm not. This show doesn't need to be that long. Ryan's got to go to a job later. All right. So, that's our take on the CM Punk Ariel Helwani bullshit. Let's talk about the WWE Hall of Fame, shall we?
How long? Because
no, just what, the. What I just want to talk about the Paul Heyman one. Honestly, maybe Bull Nakano too. Bull Nakano deserves it. I thought she did pretty good on her English too. By the way, anybody that chanted what during Bull Nakano's
fuck you.
Speech, I hope you get a wart around your genital area.
I don't know why they have fans at it. It was better when they didn't. I'm not a fan of having fans at
the I don't have a problem with the fans. I don't like the I don't have a problem with the fans. I have a problem with the fans that start chanting what. Literally everything else is fine. It's when they start chanting what. It makes them look as dumb as they appear to be online, by the way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Greenish says, Paul Heyman, greatest hall of speech.
It's up there. That's why I wanted to bring it up. It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there. It's good.
Yeah. It's okay.
Love the Stephanie. I love Stephanie wearing the old ECW cap. That was cool as shit that she used to wear during the whole invasion angle. It was good. Obviously, some of it had to be tamed back because it's Heyman and...
No.
I mean, no, he cursed and shit. I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about, like, the Lesnar part of it. He barely mentioned Lesnar because of, you know.
Mm.
So, that part of it.
Yeah. I can't think of one off the top of my head that I would say was better. Because he did a really good job of blending... a lot of the real life stuff, a lot of the character work, a lot of the callbacks. I think that was the first. Is that the first Hall of Fame speech with props? There's got to be another one, right? Somebody else would have at some point. But yeah, I don't. I can't think of one off the top of my head that I would consider better. I think that. I think that not being able to mention Lesnar in it didn't hurt it as much as I saw people talking about, because he did mention Lesnar twice technically, and Lesnar's obviously like a big part of his history there and all that, but I think just the two little nods to it were fine. I don't think it took away from it at all. I get that he was like a major part of his career when Lesnar debuted and all that stuff, but I just mentioning the streak thing is probably fine. That's what he's known for.
All right, so my favorite Hall of Fame speeches of all time. Heyman's up there. He's definitely top five, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the Freebirds Hall of Fame speech.
Okay.
Really liked Mick Foley's Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, that's a good one too, actually.
Edge had a really good one.
Mm. Oh, Jake the Snake.
Yeah. Oh, Scott Hall. Scott Hall is one of the most quotable fucking Hall of Fame speech endings of all time. So I gotta put that in there.
So short, though. Surprised you're not saying Ultimate Warrior.
It was okay. I mean, it was good.
I just know you're an Ultimate Warrior mark. That's why.
Yeah, but I mean, it was good for him, because it was my most anticipated one, because no one knew what the fuck he was gonna do.
Well, he probably wasn't gonna say anything crazy.
No, even at the beginning of that fucking thing, he was like, he's looking at Hogan in the front row, he's like, I know a lot of you guys in the front row right here are probably real nervous right now about what I'm gonna, that shit was so good, I was like, yes, here we go. No, Ultimate Warriors is good. I don't know if it's top five. I'd say top 10. I don't want to say top five. His promo on Raw the night after was... obviously gave me goosebumps pointed. Because of what the fuck happened on Tuesday.
Village Life Vlog says, do you guys know who is MS Dhoni? No, I don't watch cricket. So the Hall of Fame thing, as far as like circling back to the Heyman stuff, it's funny because that's a speech where I feel like having a crowd there does help it to have the reactions. I don't feel like that in a formal setting would work as well. But with Bull Nakano, I feel like the crowd made it worse. So I don't know how you balance that aside from like vetting serious fans who aren't going to chant. What do you do there?
You have somebody come up there like a fucking Triple H or Paul Heyman even and come up there and be like, hey,
no fucking what chance?
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Like literally just say it. Like, hey, no. Then everybody will clap like it wasn't them, and then they'll just shut the fuck up after that because they're all fucking embarrassed because they're assholes.
Yeah, or just make it a rule. Say if you're caught chanting what, you're going to get fucking kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say it at the beginning of the show. Do not chant what. Like, this is not the time to do that shit. Unless Austin is out here, you don't chant what.
Right.
Yeah, no, for sure at the Hall of Fame. Like, I understand. Like, it's still fucking annoying during regular promos on TV, but you can't really enforce that on regular TV. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but no, for Hall of Fame, yes. For Slammies, yes. All that kind of shit, yeah. I would be enforcing
Slammies
that kind
of shit. Slammies were kind of a mess this year. A lot of technical difficulties. Did you watch them?
I saw who won. I actually voted on him as well. And almost everybody that I voted on ended up winning. So I thought I did a pretty good job. I got it right.
You did a good job. Yeah. What were your confidence ratings?
I mean, they would be pretty high, honestly. It wouldn't matter because I got them mostly. I'm pretty sure I got them all right. I looked through them and I was like, I'm pretty sure I voted for all this. Very hyped for Drew McIntyre to win the Social Media Star of the Year. That was cool shit.
What's the... I guess we're good on the Paul Heyman thing, unless you got something else to say about it.
No, I mean, I thought it was really good, though. I mean, not that we were shocked. We knew it was going to be up there.
He is a talker.
I love that they started out with him and didn't end with him. Got him while the crowd was still, hot. Like, just hot. Like, yeah. Fresh.
That was cool. But you could have done that the other way, too. Just had him bring him up at the end, leading into the show the next day. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit older, but we need to talk about it.
Briscoe.
Yeah, Mark Briscoe wins the Ring of Honor world title.
In a good match, too.
So now Eddie Kingston only has one title left for now.
Which he's probably about to lose to Gabe Kidd.
Probably. Yeah. And then the other big thing coming out of it was how good the Athena and Sheeta match was, and how good the Billy Starks and Queen Aminata matches were for the two titles. Were you surprised that Athena kept her title?
No, I was surprised that Aminata did a run-in last night on after the Athena match, because now you've got the like somebody that was doing the competition for the mid-card title immediately come up to do the world title. That seems weird to me, against her minion, you know. It just seems strange, unless they're just feeding her to Athena too. But as far as the matches at actual Supercard, I wasn't surprised that Athena was one. I would say I was more surprised that Starks won.
I could see that, but I mean, honestly it was 50-50 for me. Match is good. A lot of people had an issue with the neck angle. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, it was so obviously fake. Yeah. So who was biting on that? That was like, oh, this is
somebody.
This is so inappropriate.
Some
you
idiot
scared
was
me.
Because as soon as Doc Samson lifts her up with a neck injury, I know it's a work. Also, you can't sit up somebody with a neck injury.
Plus, she sits herself up and says, "Come here, come here, come here," to the ref. My neck. Like, you don't do that when you have a serious neck injury. You can't. So like it.
No one's putting a Joe Gertner fucking neck brace on a person that just hurt their neck.
It would be
the hard plastic one. Yes. Yeah. With the foam on the inside. No. Yes. And they'd be coming out with the fucking hard ass stretcher flat thing to slide into the ring. Like there's a lot of shit there that made me understand that it was a work. So even if they were going to go full on and stop the match completely and she wasn't going to do the heel turn thing or whatever and end up winning. Like, even if they did it all the way and Queen Aminata just ended up winning by, you know,
no contest.
Forfeit. Yeah, no contest or whatever. I would have been okay with that, too, because I already knew that it was work because of how they were handling the situation, which is there's indicators when stuff like that happens. If you're smart enough to figure it out, if you're just paying attention to it. What I really loved, though, what I think a lot of people fed into it was, it's because the crowd was so quiet. Like,
yeah.
They took it seriously, too. Like, I think that helped. I mean, like, you could hear nothing. There was not, if like, that was crazy.
If I was there, I probably would have been like, I wouldn't have told people around me that she was clearly faking. I wouldn't have said, no, you just saw her move. You just saw them.
A lot harder to tell in person, too, depending on where you're sitting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, or watching on TV, you're literally in the ring. So, like, yeah, you could tell. You could tell pretty much right away as soon as they brought the put the neck brace, the foam neck brace on.
It's a foam pillow. It's a Tempur-Pedic.
Well. Yeah. I mean, I already knew as soon as that happened, but it was a good match.
I was fine with the angle.
And I love the fact that she does it and then like really takes advantage of the moment and ends up doing like three moves and ends up winning three power moves and ends up winning instead of, hey, I'm going to do this, and then you're still going to mount a comeback type deal, even though I caught you off guard. Yeah, nah, I'm good with that. I'm good with the way that they did it. It made way more sense that way.
Yeah, I liked it. And I'm not opposed to injury angles, except for with people that have like an actual history of something that you would be really concerned about them for, and when they don't do so much to make it look fake. Like if you have it be too realistic, and it's like, Bryan Danielson faking a fucking head injury, then I'm a little like, that feels a little weird. And I don't think
it's Saray did the same thing with the neck too. Like that kind of freaked people out too, the neck injury.
Yeah.
Well, against Britt Baker or whatever.
And it's not like it offends me. It takes me out of it to the point where when they restart it, it's hard for me to get back into the match.
Could you imagine if Big E ever came back and he does a dive and then he just stays on the ground holding his neck? Like, nah, man. Like, fuck. Yeah. There's certain stuff that's not cool to do to people. Also, it's kind of like bad karma. I wouldn't be doing that for yourself in the future as well.
Speaking of, he did release a medical update. Did you see
that?
Yeah. Apparently he's good health-wise, but he can't. He's probably not going to wrestle again. His bone's not growing back, apparently, where they were expecting to. So all the fibrous tissue is good. He's able to move. Like, he's got full range of motion, all that stuff, but he just can't. He's probably not going to be able to wrestle anymore. So, but when you compare that to, is he okay, is he good, like there's a lot.
Yeah, he's fine.
Wrestling's whatever, bro.
He's fine, he just can't wrestle. Correct.
Right.
Kind of like Triple H. He's fine, but he can't wrestle. And the other thing about it is like, hey, as long as you can move your fucking head side to side and you're not like Michael Keaton Batman, I guess you're doing pretty good considering what the hell you went through
right
after that injury.
They could pull a dealer. I'll
consider that a dub, yes. All right, let's talk about the main event. You said it was a really good match. Mark Briscoe winning the world title from Ring of Honor 11 years to the day, the same time that Jay Briscoe won his first world championship.
It was a good match. That Jay Driller looked fucking rough, though. Did you? Because it looked like, I don't know if he just wasn't able to get Kingston up the way that he thought he was going, but it was like a horizontal Jay Driller. It looked nasty, and it looked like Eddie smashed his head for good. And when they're talking at the end, Eddie kind of says something to him about you smash the back of my head or something. Well, he was laughing about it, but like, I don't think that move landed right.
Do you think this the Lynyrd Skynyrd song is the reason why TK had to let so many people go?
No, but apparently it was expensive. Yeah. It was worth it though. You know, speaking of people that were let go though, did you see that Jose the assistant was one of the security guys for Jack Perry?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was one of the riot suit guys.
Yeah, I didn't notice, but
yeah,
there was a couple of them I really definitely didn't agree with on the release list. Some of them I understood.
Mm.
The boys came out and did a thing with text messages and everything. They seemed like they were not in the wrong.
You are delusional. They're absolutely in the wrong.
You think so?
Yes. So what they were in the way that this the reason that they're in the wrong is because they live in Tennessee. They live by an airport. They're like 15 minutes away from one airport and they're 3 hours away from another airport. Their travel gets booked at the one that's 3 hours away. They write they text whoever and they're like, hey, we just got information that says that we have to drive to this airport 3 hours away for our travel. We normally fly out of the one that's 15 minutes away. Like, what's the deal with that? Whatever. And they're like, oh, like, we'll look into it, whatever. They asked their question, and then they wait until the day of the fucking booking at like 7 p.m., 6 p.m., whatever, to start messaging people like, oh, no, I just thought we weren't booked because nobody ever gave us new travel after we asked about it. That's not how that works. Like, if you're, this is coming from someone that works for a company that comps my travel for stuff sometimes, like when I have to go to conferences or whatever the fuck, especially down in like Austin. If they book me out of Raleigh and I say, hey, can you book me out of the one that's closer to me without giving away where I live? And I don't hear back from them, I don't just suddenly not have to go. The answer is no, your travel's still arranged out of Raleigh. You're going to go to Raleigh. That's how it works. Like, if you don't hear back, that doesn't mean we don't need you anymore. You're told, here's the shit that we paid for you. If I need to get a rental car, or if I need to pay gas, or if I need to pay for airport parking that I didn't plan to, I can submit a reimbursement and get that money back for it. But that's like, no, that's how all travel comp works when you work for a company. So when they heard back, you know, no, that was intentional. And like, we want you to go drive there. For them to just completely no-show it instead of figuring it out and going to the travel that they had booked, that was, again, paid for them, and that if they had to rent a car or whatever, they would have gotten reimbursed for, which they know because they said something in one of the texts about, oh, like, when we've rented stuff in the past, like, people have gotten on us before and said that they should let the office do it or whatever. That only happens if you've rented something that was, like, way more fucking expensive than you needed and then tried to submit a reimbursement for it.
That's, yeah, it's like taking a company card to go eat lunch and you went to fucking, yes, Ruth Chris's or some shit. Yeah.
Right.
All
right,
so...
That's what people have gotten on them about for. So, no, they knew they were booked, they had travel comp, and they just chose not to go to it.
You've been working with AEW and Ring of Honor for a while, and I'm not going to say that you're millionaires or anything because you're just working for Ring of Honor, but the excuse of, hey, our vehicles aren't in the best shape to make a three-hour drive, that's weird, right?
It also doesn't work because if you read the text, what they say is, oh, if it was a different weekend, that could have been fine. But now, because you guys picked the weekend that's like the NCAA is in town and it's March Madness and St. Patrick's Day, like, I don't know if we can blah, blah, blah. But so your car would have been fine on a different weekend, but not on this weekend. It doesn't make any fucking sense. No, they knew they were fucking up. It is nonsense.
The one release I had the most issue with was Dasha, honestly. Who's the one that you were like, well, that was weird, you didn't need to release that person?
Anthony Henry. But I understood it.
Because no, that one makes complete sense. It makes complete sense now that we know that he's going to bring him back after the injury is healed.
Right. He didn't get injured on an AEW show.
Correct. So there's no... So like, if he did, TK probably would not have released him.
Right. Dasha... I'll be honest, Dasha had been fucking some stuff up lately. And I don't know that it's her fault or whatever, but she was calling stuff wrong. She was saying stuff wrong. It happened a few times. I wouldn't say that's enough to fire her over, but I will say that she hadn't been like as on the ball lately as maybe she always had been. I still don't think that's you release somebody over that necessarily, though.
Honestly, Jose still have JR.
Yeah. True, because he fucks up all the time. But he's got a lot of name recognition that Dasha doesn't, too. The other one was, honestly, Jose the Assistant. I don't think I would have released him. I thought he brings a lot to the Rouge presentation that you could say is, like, overlookable or whatever. But I think that he does a good job. He brings something to the Rouge
presentation without taking something away. Like, a lot of people think that...
Arrentes does.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people think that he does. Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that, but
I don't either. I don't have a problem.
He came out with Penta the other night. I was like, oh shit, he looks like a fucking hype man for this cool ass luchador.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are people that do have an issue with him, but I am not one of them. No.
Yeah. So no, Jose the Assistant for sure, and Anthony Henry. I was like, fuck, like that's weird because you still have JD Drake. Like, what do you do with him from there?
Because we know now, you're just going to put him in singles in Ring of Honor until Anthony Henry come back, and then the tag team's back together. No big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal. The boys I was fine with. Here's the thing about the boys.
Well, see, who's the other ones? There's like 10 or 11 of them. I can't remember the entire list.
I can look. Hold on.
I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Do you remember?
Oh, they released, well, I guess he'd asked to leave, but Santana, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't think that was part of it.
Jara Joel was one of the Dark Elevation guys. Gravity, they released.
Oh, yeah, Gravity. Yeah, what the fuck happened with Gravity?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bandito's fucking brother, dude. And where the fuck is Bandito? Is he still hurt?
He's hurt.
Okay.
Stu Grayson.
Which is weird.
So you brought him back to do the one story with the Righteous, and then I guess that was it. And then Parker Boudreau, which I think everybody's like,
yeah, okay, whatever. We didn't even know he was still on the roster.
Yeah. That one makes sense. And then Slim J, who was doing the stuff with like the Trustbusters, but...
Well, they're not anything anymore because Daivari went with Premier Athletes.
Yep. So, you know, he's a good wrestler, but he just...
Yeah, Gravity is a weird one to me, too. Gravity was doing good in those matches. Like, there was no botches and stuff that I can remember that'd be like... Like, what the fuck is going on with Gravity? It had to be a behind-the-scenes thing with Gravity or something. Like,
or maybe he just wanted to be released so he could take bookings without having to ask about him or something. Who knows?
I don't know. That's weird.
Because the way that they worded on the release, the press release was like, it opens up opportunities for them to go do stuff if we're not using them, was basically how they made it sound.
So they can start using them on like a pay-per-appearance deal instead, like TNA used to do back in the day?
Maybe, but... With Gravity specifically, I imagine like maybe he wants to go work some Mexico shows or something without asking, or maybe he wants to go work AAA and then he can't because of the CMLL deal or whatever the fuck.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, like, that's true.
There's a lot of different reasons.
So. That's true.
I
mean, yeah, but Gravity and Dasha were the big ones for me that popped out, stood out.
Yeah. How do you feel about them not securing Matt Hardy?
Yeah, they're still talking about it, and he's still promoting the shows and stuff, so. Either they're still talking or that period just ended. That doesn't mean they're going to still talk. I don't really care. I literally said, hey, why don't we just give that money back to Dasha and get her back? You could literally go sign Gravity and Dasha with the money that you were probably going to pay Matt Hardy to do nothing anyway. And at least they'd be contributing to the fucking to the shows. So
what do you do with Matt Hardy though? He's clearly not moving as good as he was. He's not going to wrestle the way that he was. His character work is so, at this point, weird and fragmented, and I don't think you can really do anything to, like, tie all his stuff back together in a way that makes sense. If you don't have him with Jeff, nobody really gets that into his stables or anything.
If I'm TK, you want to know what I do? Hmm. I wait till we give the trios titles to, well, I guess you could take them off the Acclaim. Yes, technically.
Yeah, to give to the fucking Bullet Club Gold, baby.
I really don't want those titles to be unified, so no. I would sign Matt Hardy, and I would sign Lita, and I would have Team Extreme be the trios champions. And then Rebby Hardy's just gonna have to get the fuck over it on her TikTok account.
She talking like they were about to get a divorce?
Yeah!
Like,
now they're magically all... Yeah, she's clearly on drugs or something, I don't know.
No, she never seemed like super...
Too much Zydrate.
I won't say all that, but I will say that she has not seemed particularly all stable all the time. Okay, yeah, if Matt Hardy leaves or goes, I don't feel like it affects the product that much, so it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, they could always use him in a backstage role too, but I don't know if he's interested in doing that, so there's that whole question too. Who knows? If he was never on the screen again, I'm not sweating over it, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's stay with AEW, and my final thing that I have to talk about here is AEW Dynasty hype levels.
Yeah,
they got a lot of matches announced. It's week.
Well, they got 8 matches, I think. They actually don't have as many matches as they
not yet. Has. They're gonna have another one though.
No, they need to leave this card like it is and give all these fucking
They're literally going to have another one, dude. We just had a thing that hasn't been announced yet. Oh my god.
No, they got to stop doing that.
Shut up. I'm trying to think. What the hell was the other match there? I just caught up on AEW. And there's clearly going to be another match. Hold on. I'm trying to think of what the hell it is.
The O'Reilly...
No, that's been official already.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. There's something else that they're Hook versus Jericho probably is going to happen.
I don't need a Jericho match on this.
I don't either, but I'm just telling you that's probably going to end up happening.
He's got to take some time away or something.
I don't know why you would have another Hook versus Jericho match or a Hook and Jericho tag team match on the show, because we've already seen that the past few weeks.
To do the turn, that's why. It's 100% to do the turn. Unless they do it at this meeting, this facilitated meeting by Taz.
And then they have another singles match, which, like, do we really want to see that?
Why do you
have a singles match?
What do you need Chris Jericho as a mentor for if Taz is your dad? From a submission wrestler point of view, you know?
Hell if I know. Just because Jericho's was more accomplished in the business, I guess? I don't know.
I guess, but also, I mean, this man just went out and choked out Shane
Taylor.
It
only doesn't make any sense because Taz is there every week, too. Yeah, if Taz was at the house and wasn't on AEW TV, it would make a little bit more sense.
Right. Yeah.
I'm here. What are you talking about?
I'm just backstage. Go find me in catering, bro. Yeah, that's a little weird. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not a Jericho hater. Like, I see his value. I don't need another stable. I don't need another fucking weird program with a younger guy. It's just, I don't know what to do with him at this point. I just feel like he needs to take some time off, let the audience miss him, and then he can come back and do something, you know?
All right, well, let's talk about the hype levels then. All right, so let's go over the matches. You got, obviously, Danielson and Ospreay was the first match that was announced.
10.
Oh, you're probably, Bullet Club, Gold, and Acclaimed are probably fighting on this show too, by the way. That hasn't been officially announced.
Yeah. I mean, it's time. It's time for Tony Khan to pay for his fucking crimes of that Billy Gunn match. Jesus Christ.
Well, you got the ladder match between the Young Bucks and FTR for the finals of the tag titles tournament.
How do you feel about that being a ladder match?
I don't care. I don't care. You know, I love chaos. I don't give a shit.
I've seen this take, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do wonder if you think the same thing. Do you feel like it's a ladder match because neither team wants to take the pin?
That's not the worst scenario right there.
Or the worst conspiracy. Yeah. I don't feel like that's true.
Do you think there's a real like Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart thing going on between these two teams?
No, I think there's more like a Miz Bryan Danielson thing going on between those two teams. Like, they're not going to fucking get in a brawl or anything. They just have different ways of looking at the business and it makes them feel however they feel, but they can get along politely, socially, whatever.
One works for one and one works for the other.
Yeah.
I will say Danielson's record against Miz is a lot better than Miz's record against Danielson.
Which is crazy. Cause he's a rookie.
Okay. So you got that match. You got, Swerve versus Samoa Joe, obviously, for the world title. You've got...
Yeah, that'll be good.
You've got...
You think it's time to do that change?
Yes. 100% it's time. I need it to happen now, because then Swerve can have it long enough to lose it to Ospreay at All In.
What's fucked up is, like, I want Swerve to win, but I don't want Joe to not be champion. And I don't... What do you do with that, you know? Maybe he digs up Punk's old belt from the fucking storage room.
Go find one of the old TNT titles that had the different color strap and be like, I'm still the king of TV.
I'm the television champion.
King of television. Speaking of TV, TNT title, CSA. TNT title, Edge is going to be, I mean, Edge, Adam Copeland is going to be in the trios match with Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston against the House of Black, which I thought was that's probably the weirdest match on here.
I mean, storyline-wise, it tracks with what they've been doing. I think you have Edge lose that match and then it lead to a TNT title match with Malachi or whatever.
Yeah. It's gonna be weird because House of Black is gonna beat three singles champions.
Right, but then that sets up matches.
No, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. No.
It's something they need. It's something they need for sure. Julia Hart versus Willow. I think Willow wins.
Yeah, it's probably about time for that.
But I also don't want to see Willow turn around and lose it to Mercedes because Mercedes says I got next. So I'm cool either way. I just would prefer Julia to keep it because Julia's had it longer. And then I don't want Willow to turn it around and just lose. Mercedes not losing her debut match in AEW, which is going to be for the TBS championship. So
She should.
Based off of TK's track record, yes, she should. But it's Mercedes. It's not the same level. So Mercedes is going to win. And I needed to be against Julia. I'd rather be against Julia, although I really want Willow to win a fucking title in AEW. So I'm very torn. But when we do the predictions, I'm probably going to pick Julia because it makes more sense storyline-wise to me, personally.
I think it makes more sense storyline-wise to have...
Dude, you cannot have Willow finally win and then turn around and lose that shit.
You can if you do it by Mercedes doing heel shit. Or if you have her win, not exactly by heel shit.
I mean, how long is Double or Nothing? Double or Nothing is May, right? So it's literally the next month. You can't have Willow turn around and drop it. You can't. Unless you're going to have a Moxley situation where you're trying to literally fucking match Orange Cassidy's fucking thing so you have him wrestle every week against random people to get defenses up so it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah. Hey, man. The TBS championship's been isolated for a while, though. It was time to start moving it around. Okay, what else is on there?
Can't remember the other matches that are on there. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, obviously, for the international title.
Yeah, that'll be good. What do you do with that? Oh, O'Reilly's yeah, Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm.
O'Reilly's not winning, no.
Thunder Rosa, Tony Storm?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. I'm hoping Tony Storm keeps it. I see a lot of people that want Tony Storm to drop it. Like, oh, her time's come. No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
And it hasn't. How many times do people have to be wrong about Tony Storm?
You can't say her time has come when she's timeless, first of all.
Secondly, well, that's true, too. The other thing is that I've said it a million times on this show, and I've been right every fucking time. It's time for her to drop it. Her time's come. She's had a good run, and her shit's getting stale. That's not what her character is. Her character is literally, I have to hold on to this title to stay this character. Once she loses that title, the fucking character goes into an even more deranged fucking thing because of how the character became manifested in the first place. It's literally based off of fucking Joan Crawford, bro. I don't understand how people don't understand this. And
you know who would understand
this?
The
only person that's going to dethrone Tony Storm is Jamie fucking Hayter. That's the only way that this makes sense.
Also, I don't think Thunder Rosa has done enough since she's gotten back to be like, oh yeah, I should be world champion again. She cut a pretty good promo.
First one ever.
Her first good promo ever?
Yeah. No, agree. No, it is.
I'd have to think about it.
No, you don't.
It is.
No, you don't. Okay. If you can't think of another good promo, then this was her best promo.
But that's what I'm saying. Just because I didn't say it wasn't her best one, I just said it's probably not her only good one.
Yeah, well, I disagree. Unless you can't count backstage Miro ones. Live promo, it's her best. It's easily her best promo ever.
And then Pac and Okada, we forgot.
Oh, I didn't forget it. I was waiting for you to fangirl over it. The Pac Okada, the Pac Okada match, and the Ospreay. Danielson match are literally the reasons why I thought you'd be going to St. Louis next week.
I just fucking hate St. Louis. I thought about it. I'm still thinking about it, kind of, a little bit, but it's pretty short notice now.
Yeah, this is a good makeup for that one pay-per-view that they had to pull from there because of COVID, I believe. They had to change?
I feel like...
And he literally said, I will eventually make it up to St. Louis. I feel like this is the makeup show because this pay-per-view is insane.
The problem with this match, and the reason I'm not as hyped for you as you might think, is that
Pac's not Okada's going to win.
Yeah, Pac's not winning. But then I said the same thing when he was a replacement for Moxley in the Omega match. They do like to book Pac and just randomly win shit.
No, Okada's winning. Are you not hyped because if it was like later on in Okada's title run with more defenses under him, and then you really didn't know going in who was going to win, and if Okada still won, then it would be a little bit better. But going into it, knowing Okada's winning, we just got Okada, the best wrestler in New Japan history, over here. He just got this title from Eddie Kingston. He's not going to turn around and lose it to Pac.
Right. That's all it is. And it'll still be a good match and everything. It's just it's hard to come into it knowing what the outcome is going to be and just be waiting for how they do the finish.
The finish is going to be hilarious if Okada cheats to win. That'll be fucking hilarious.
Oh, he might.
No, I think he might too.
Or the Bucks might do some shit.
Nah, the Bucks are going to be busy. Bucks are going to be busy.
But you know they're there.
No, okay, so here's the real question, and I know this isn't prediction sure to be wrong or anything, but I gotta throw it out there because
confidence.
No.
Okay.
Do you think Jack Perry ends up costing FTR and then joining the fucking Elite to take over Adam Page's spot like Okada took over Omega's spot in the Elite?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm leaning towards that too.
It'd be funny if they haven't come out with a rope.
Well, here's the thing, is if FTR was, like, let's say, like, the theory that you threw out, the conspiracy theory earlier, was, hey, nobody wants to take the pin. If you're being protected by Perry interfering in the match, then I really don't think that Harwood or Wheeler would care about taking the pin in that situation, because they're protected. We only got fucking pinned because somebody just came out there and hit us with a low blow or a GTS or whatever the fuck he's going to hit them with.
GTS would be funny, but the thing about that is that Bucks are already heels, so if that's how you want to do it, you just do a ref bump and whatever the fuck, you know. I think this is the time to bring him back in. Everybody, his name is in everybody's mouth.
How do ladder matches work if the ref is out to see who grabs the title? If everyone else in the building and sees who grabs the title, right? Like the Austin thing at the Rumble, we all saw it. The announcer saw it, everybody saw it, but then because the ref didn't see it, it didn't count. Wouldn't it be hilarious if FTR grabs the titles, but like the Bucks super kick the fucking refs? So the refs don't see that they grab the titles, and then they take the titles away from FTR, the refs wake up, and they have the titles, so they won? That would piss off everyone? I think that would be hilarious.
Isn't that kind of what happened with the Ellsworth thing?
I tried to block out Ellsworth. Honestly, like, let's be real here. I assume that you're talking about one of the Carmelo Money in the Bank.
The Carmelo one, yeah.
I don't know, dude.
I'd have to go.
I blocked both of those Money in the Bank matches out.
Listen, I'm sorry for having encyclopedia knowledge of weird wrestling shit.
I doesn't mean I don't block it out, though.
Yeah. I can't. I wish I could.
You can. I think I'm doing it.
The use of instant replay being so selective in pro wrestling is always
funny. Yeah,
super. Like, you've always got it, but they'll do
random times that it's used where another ref will come out and help the other ref. Like, so on the other matches, the refs are just eating or something and not paying attention to the match. Hey, I just happen to look over in this match. Yeah. This motherfucker cheated. You need to restart it. Okay, well, I'll just take your word for it. You have no money on this or anything. I'm going to go ahead and restart the match. This person clearly knows. Or you got the big Tron up there that clearly shows the replay. You know the ref is looking at it after the match after he just made the fucking shitty-ass call. And like, oh, well, my decision's final. How do we determine when we can use the instant replay and restart a match and when we can't?
Like,
that's for all wrestling, by the way.
When somebody gets a pin with their feet on the ropes, and you see the guy after the match who lost being like, his feet were on the ropes, and they're just like,
You know, the funniest shit is when the ref, like back in the WCW and WWE, they used to do this too. After the match, the refs would be asking the front row fans,
yeah,
what was it on there? And they'd be like, yes, it was, and they still don't restart it. Like, now fuck all you fans in the front row. I just got all of you. Fucking terrible, dude.
The other thing where, like, somebody will interfere, but they're distracted, and, like, the fans are screaming at them, turn around.
I would like to end this show by addressing something that I didn't really want to address. Because I don't want to give this person even more attention. Not that they're ever going to see this anyway. I've blocked them on Twitter a long time ago, thankfully. But they've been back in the news again. This bald fucking Kevin Scampoli dude or whatever the fuck. I don't know if that's his name. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Him and the Joe Cronin dude and the JD from NY dude. All three of you motherfuckers can go kick rocks for all I care. Like, I don't need you anywhere on my timeline. I don't need any of you motherfuckers, your fucking sorry ass cult like fans that also don't know what the fuck they're talking about on my timeline. The fat dude that's the co-host with Kevin, that isn't checking his friend for some reason for saying the N-word constantly, and trying to bury NXT talent. The Cronin dude for fucking trying to bury Denise for doing her job. You know, it's just implying that people sleep around to get press passes and shit like this and all that. All three of you motherfucking idiots. All three of you motherfucking idiots. can suck my dick.
Kick rocks.
Like, kick rocks was the best way I'm going to say. You can suck my dick. Yeah. Like, for real.
Hate all three of you. The Scampoli one was like...
He's always been like that. I blocked him long time ago. He had something popped up with him long time ago, and I was like, nah, this fucking dude's weird. I blocked him. So this does not shock me that all this has come out about this guy, and he's getting traction for some reason. The funny thing about a lot of these people that are in the wrestling business, besides JD, because I do believe that he has a shit ton of followers for some reason. I have no idea why. That actually react to shit he says. I get annoying on here, and me and you yell, but we're yelling at each other. I'm not yelling really at, like, he's just yelling into the void. Like, yeah. It's just him and a camera, and it's fucking weird. At least I have somebody to react to. He's fucking weird. So you're yelling at your green screen.
Said something first.
Yeah, it's fucking odd. Yeah. I mean, I've yelled at stuff, like, for sure, but not like his entire fucking shtick and his show is that, though.
So there was a YouTuber way back in the day. It was like the angry video game nerd or whatever.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
But his whole thing back in the day was like overreacting with rage to shit.
Yeah. It was comedy.
And then he kind of realized like, oh, it's kind of played out. Maybe I shouldn't do that as much anymore. Some people just haven't moved on from that.
Well, he also already covered all the video games. So like he has a shit ton of videos. Yeah, it was like... I love his videos.
I don't remember him saying anything particularly racist while he was doing it.
No. That's the other thing, man. Like, what? Okay. The people that are complaining about this whole press pass thing, which is asinine, by the way. Yeah. I have never once in my life thought I would ever get to the level of a Xenia or a Denise or a Sean Ross Sapp or who the fuck ever, right? Not that I wouldn't love to do that with my time instead of working at this fucking bullshit job I'm at now. But but I've never really, like, thought that far ahead about it. I'm just doing this for fun type deal.
Right.
But I've never once had an inkling of being like, man, it sucks that they're there and I'm not there.
Right.
Well, how are they there and I'm not there? What?
Because I feel like, so when we talk about, obviously it's for fun, and I think it's also because... it gives us an excuse to talk at least once a week. But for them, are they trying to angle it into a job? Or like, it's so...
Well, here's the thing. What job do they think they're going to get?
Right. That's my thought, too. That's where I was going. It's like, because if you think that your whole point in doing this is angling for like some kind of media job or like some sort of like in with the companies or whatever, you're probably not going to do it by being a fucking dick 24/7. To talent and to other journalists.
My favorite part about this is Seahawk, Denise, Xenia, Sean Ross Sapp, Phil and Reg, they're all just ass kissers. That's why they got where they are. You have to be nice. You understand that you have to be nice to people, right?
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Just because you're nice to somebody doesn't mean you're an ass kisser, first of all, because they've all criticized stuff, by the way, on their Twitter accounts. Maybe not Denise as much as the other ones, but they've all criticized shit that they don't like or that they don't agree with on X, Twitter, whatever. You guys are literally negative about everything. No one wants to be around you. You're not building anything that anybody wants to be a part of, which is why you're not where they are.
It is weird that there's this microcosm of I know we don't like to use the word fake with wrestling, but there's this like, there's a group of journalists who cover a fake thing that have like real issues with each other for the way that they cover it or the access that they have to it. Very fucking weird to me. Like, do you think these kind of beefs exist with like fucking like movie reviewers? Is that a thing? I don't think it's a thing, right? Probably not.
Well, why is Roger Ebert doing... Why is Roger Ebert giving this interview? I could do this way better. That movie fucking sucked. All those actors fucking suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not how this works. It's the same concept as the Pat McAfee show, too. I've seen a lot of people hating on the Pat McAfee show for, like, the ESPN stuff or the WWE stuff that he just recently did and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there like, it's really just jealousy. At the heart of all of it, it's literally just jealousy. It's you're miserable as fuck. You have nothing going on in your life. You somehow got enough money scrounged up to get a webcam and a computer and an internet connection. And now you think you're just as smart as other people because you watch one product and then shit on the other one that you don't watch. And then it's like you're not even in the same league. You're not like the same league. You're not in the same realm. You're not in the same reality. In what fucking reality, as Omega would say? Like, what are you talking about? You're nowhere near the stratosphere of what these other people are in, and you'll never get there because of the way that your attitude is.
The nice thing about content creation becoming more accessible is that, like, anybody can do it. But the bad thing about content creation becoming more accessible is that fucking anybody can do it. So you get these idiots who come in and just say, like, the most outlandish shit.
Here's the thing, is that they say the outlandish shit because they know that'll get the clicks and the views, but the problem is they think that it should get them more than that when that's where it stops. Yeah. It doesn't propel you into the next part of it for the people that actually work hard and are positive and don't get as many clicks and views at the beginning of their journey on this type of path with content creation. Because a lot of people don't really gravitate towards that. They gravitate towards the negative stuff so they can react to your bullshit, right, and then get likes and comments off of your bullshit and get you to go back and forth with them. Whereas the Denises of the world, the Reg and Phils of the world, the Xenias of the world, they're building actual fucking communities and platforms and going further up while you're just plateauing because all you can do is this one shtick where, hey, I'm just going to bitch about this and say something outlandish to get a reaction out of everybody. Hey, look at me. Ain't I fucking a genius, or aren't I influential, or whatever? And no, the answer is no, you're not. People are laughing at you.
The funny thing is, like, too, when they talk about people being like shills or bought and paid for it or what, like fucking, this pissed me off. So way back when Will Washington got hired by AEW, a lot of people were just like, oh, it's because he sucks up to the AEW product, and because he's like some people like Scampoli would say shit like, oh, he's like a diversity hire, like whatever, just fucking moronic stuff. But what pissed me off about it was the reason that he got the role that he got wasn't because he was like constantly sucking up to it, is because he kept track of the storylines in the product and was making commentary on shit that sometimes didn't make sense. And then it was like his analysis of it overall in a more objective way that kind of made it to where people saw the value in not just his content, but also bringing him in actually to the fucking company. So it's very weird to me that you've got people like, who was Joe Cronin, I guess his name was, saying shit about, like, Denise. It was crazy. My biggest complaint about Denise is that she doesn't talk enough shit. I'm too nice about all the products. But no, like, just some of it's jealousy, some of it's attention getting, some of it's just being fucking dumb. I don't know what their end goal is, though, because when you look at the impressions that they get or the clicks they get from it or anything like that, it's not like they're making fucking bank on it themselves.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'll disagree with you. That's kind of what Cronin was saying besides the whore comments. What he was getting to with the Denise thing, I think, was she is too nice. She doesn't ever have a quote-unquote hot take, but most of these hot takes, like the Kevin Scampolis and the JD from New York, are shit takes. They don't make any sense. They're just garbage takes. They're wrong. So,
or they're negative just for the sake of being negative.
Exactly. I think that's the Denise's thing. It's not that she doesn't have hot takes. She just doesn't portray them out to the public because she's only focusing on the positive stuff that she does like, which is a good way to go about stuff. I wish I could do that more often, but there's stuff that in wrestling that has always annoyed me from when I was a younger fan. So
not using instant replay.
Yeah, not using instant replay when you have the technology. The technology exists. Let's use it. Yeah. But anyway, so that is, I think, part of it, is that she chooses to focus on the positive stuff, and then it annoys people that are like, well, you can't like everything. No one said she's ever liked everything. She just doesn't comment on the stuff that she doesn't like. Why she doesn't want to waste her time on shit she doesn't like.
There were matches on that New Japan card that I didn't really like. We just didn't talk about them. It's fine.
Yeah, when we just talked about Winnie City, right? We literally talked about everything that we liked on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have to cover the mid stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't talk about Riddle. But I think even when we covered the Usos match, which everybody universal was kind of like, all right, that's pretty bad. Like, we were just like, oh, they can't wrestle, they fucking suck.
I didn't say that. I said it was the worst. I said it was my least favorite match on both nights. And they left it at that. I'm not going to go in there and bury them and be like, oh, they're talking about the Young Bucks all the time. And the Usos have never talked about the Young Bucks, okay? So I'm not going to make it a Young Bucks versus a Usos thing.
Right.
So that's what the fuck you people are doing on Twitter is what that's what y'all are doing. Oh well, everybody's talking about the Usos are. Our Usos are better than Young Bucks, and their super kicks make sense, and they're in spots in the match, and we'll explain this, and then show an edit of 18 fucking super kicks in the Jimmy versus Jey Uso match. No one has ever said on the Young Bucks side or the Uso side, they always have, every time they mention each other, they want to work together. They want to have a match against each other. No one's ever been like, oh yeah, we're better than them, or they're better than, or we're better than them, unless it's like, you know, jokingly because they want to, you know, have the actual match or whatever and set it up. Kind of like FTR used to do with the Young Bucks, or like New Day does with the Young Bucks.
Right.
There's never any actual ill will or hatred towards the team, two teams that everybody else is literally infusing into this fucking fake scenario.
Well, the Usos don't have anything to get mad at the Bucks about because they stole their whole fucking style from them. So, the whole, what you're getting at as far as the wrestlers themselves don't have issues with each other or whatever. I think the only reason that I would have brought up the Young Bucks at all in the context of that match, because that match was like a bad overdone version of the same shit that people complain about the Bucks doing all the time. Like when people think about Young Bucks matches and in a negative way or that they complain about, that match is kind of what they envision those matches to be. But if you actually watch the Young Bucks matches, they haven't been that for a long time. And even when they were, it was done better, I feel like. So a lot of the only reason I would bring up them in that context isn't to say Young Bucks are better. It would be to bring up the hypocrisy of the people who bitch about the Young Bucks. So
I would just like everybody to know, because I didn't want to bring it up, but we just did.
You know what's weird? Why does that Scampoli dude have a bare knuckle fighting championship belt with him all the time? He doesn't do that.
I don't know.
Is it for his ex-wife that he's got a domestic violence battery charge against that he won that?
Maybe he bought himself the title after he beat the shit out of her.
Won? Yeah. Maybe.
I just want everybody to know on this show, we are fans of Denise, Xenia, Phil, Reg, Will Washington, Sean Ross Sapp, obviously, if you saw him in the opening of our show. And we are not fans of JD from NY, Joe Cronin, Kevin Scampoli, and the fat co-host. I don't know his name. I just know he might be a good dude. He just might not have wanted to piss that dude off because he didn't want to get beat up next. But to not say that if you consider Kevin your friend as the fat guy and you didn't say anything, then you're just as wrong. You got to check that motherfucker right there.
Right.
Not you can't just sit back there and be like, well, I don't necessarily agree with that take. I just think he's the future of the thing. And he just keeps going on and saying the N-word constantly and you're just still sitting there. Then you're part of the problem, not the solution. So
if I can argue with you about Austin not being on the fucking Mount Rushmore, I think I would say something if you said some really out of pocket shit.
I grew up where saying gay and the R word were like common things, and it took me a long time to stop saying that kind of shit.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
I don't do it on air, but I'll still do it.
We grew up with that being part of our regular slang. Okay.
Right.
I have pretty much taken it completely out of my repertoire. Like, it's very rare. Like, I'll quote the Michael Scott line because I think that's fucking hilarious. But other than that, I don't say any of that shit. I don't, like, it's weird to me that certain people, like a Jim Cornette, for instance, can't change with the times. And neither can these people. And by the way, there was never a time where it was okay to do what Kevin Scampoli did. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Well, no, there was. It was the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Before Abe Lincoln abolished it. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, like that's, I just want to be very well known on this show that we do not condone any of those three morons. And that we fucking firmly stand behind all the other ones that I've mentioned a few times already. The Grapsody podcast, the Fightful people, the Xenia did that, Kate from Fightful, all those people. Like, it's asinine to me that those people. Oh, and the other thing is that a lot of those people, I don't know if they buy followers or whatever the fuck they do, but if you look at how many people they follow and then look at their engagement, it's not good.
It's only good when somebody bigger retweets them and then they get a bunch of people shitting.
Yeah, yeah. For that one kind of was, for that one tweet, and then it goes back down. Yeah.
Right. The have you ever noticed how many people try to talk shit about Sean Ross Sapp's ability to fight? Like they're just constantly saying that they would fight him.
Oh, that was another guy, the Bill Batty guy or whatever the fuck.
No. The Scampoli and somebody else.
No, I know that, but I'm throwing that guy in there too that I also don't like.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's funny. I don't know if they know this, but Sean Ross Sapp, out of everybody you could try to make that complaint about, he trained in catch wrestling. He meddled at OGC. Like he's not just some fucking dude. In the sense that you are most likely some fucking dude when you're saying that shit. It's very weird to me that that's the person you would pick to be like, oh, I mean, yeah, should have I bet he wouldn't do shit in person. He probably would, and he'd probably beat the piss out of you.
I think we should have a Survivor Series match. It's me, you, Sean Ross Sapp, and I think I want to pick Xenia because she's fucking tall as shit. She could be like our heater. Mm-hmm. and then we go against Kevin Scampoli and JD from NY and Joe Cronin and Fat Host, or maybe Bill Batty. I don't know if Fat Host can make it.
Yeah.
We'll do a four on four elimination style Survivor Series match and we'll see who wins. Right. It'll be like DX, CM Punk, and the Hardys, because we're all gonna be standing at the end of it. It's gonna be like there's gonna be all survivors from our side, I feel like.
It's so funny to me. It's like of everybody, like you wanna say that people do an Alvarez too, which is crazy because he's a fucking black belt under God, who is he a black belt under? I don't remember, but he's a fucking black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, of all the people that you would try to talk shit about, for some reason, they always go to Sean Ross Sapp and Alvarez and talk about them fighting them IRL. Both of them would fucking choke you until you pissed yourself. What do you mean?
I mean, the great thing about Kevin Scampoli, though, is he'll never go to conventions or shows or anything because he knows he's going to get his ass fucking beat as soon as somebody recognizes who he is.
Yeah. Right. Moose, I think, said he would slap the shit out of him. That's not something I would want to piss off.
Oh, shit.
Jesus.
You're slapping him with that fucking hand. If you wasn't bald already, all your hair would have flew off. Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for the show. I just wanted to throw that out there because obviously that was getting a lot of traction this week. We will be back next week. Maybe we'll find out who attacked Mercedes.
It was Moose. You saw how she was laid out.
We'll find out who attacked Mercedes, and I just want to say, Mercedes, thank you for that great acting. I enjoyed it. I'm just going to say I enjoyed it.
I think it was Statlander.
I enjoyed it. That's
they
all
did
I'm
a backstage
say.
Shot with the Statlander interview or whatever, and they were standing in front of Mercedes' locker room, so I think they're hinting at Statlander, but we'll see.
I mean, I feel like it might be, too.
It's time.
You know what will also be cool is if they do have it where Mercedes ends up losing to Willow, if it's because it's Statlander that interferes in the match, and then they start getting the dissension between Willow and Statlander type deal, and then Statlander ends up turning on her after that. That would make sense with Mercedes not winning the title right out the gate type deal, if that makes sense.
Or they do it where Statlander tries to interfere for Willow, Willow tells her no, and that gets her like rolled up or loses the match somehow that way or whatever, you know?
Then Stat turns, yeah.
How the fuck are you going to do the gory special on Willow?
I don't think she's gonna. I don't think Willow's gonna beat Julia, so it doesn't matter. I don't think that makes any sense to drop it right after. They'd have to really like put that storyline into fast forward if they do that. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
And then if you do that, right? If you fast forward it like that, then the time between Double or Nothing and then whatever the fuck the next one is, you're gonna be sitting there.
Door.
Is it?
Yeah.
But they might not even be wrestling at Forbidden Door then, if that's the case.
Yeah, true.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll be back next week here on the MonsterCast. I'm the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That's Ryan Rockwell. And it's been real. See you next week. Deuces.